In the last few verses of Acts chapter 14 that Adam read for us a moment ago, Paul and Barnabas were coming back to Antioch, city of Antioch. And it was from that city that they had been sent out, from the church in that city, they had been sent out as missionaries. And the Bible says when they got back, they gathered the church together and rehearsed or reported all that God had done with them, how God had used them on their missionary trip, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That door of faith that many of the Gentiles went through to ask Jesus to be their Savior and claim heaven. Today, on our 22nd anniversary as a church, I want to do the same thing that they did on that day back in Antioch. The church is gathered together, and I want to report some of the things that God has done with us and how he hath opened the door of faith to many, many people in this community. And I want to say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. If you read my words in the bulletin, you got a preview of some of the things that I'm going to say. But in the 22 years of our history, we've seen over 500 people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So I say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. We've seen over 200 of those people come and follow the Lord in baptism. And John is going to do that this morning, another one that will follow the Lord's example. And if you're here this morning and you have not been baptized, I'd encourage you to come and take that first step of obedience and be baptized. But over 200 people have followed Jesus' example and been baptized. And so I say again, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. We've given over $250,000 to missions over those years that have helped send missionaries all over the world, North America, and to the far reaches of the world to tell other people about Jesus and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say again, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And then I thought about how best to share the impact that this church has had on individuals and on their families, how God has used it to draw them closer to him, how God has used it to impact their families. And I could tell you many, many stories myself, but I thought it would be better if I asked two of our charter members to come and take a few minutes to do that. So I'm going to ask Angie to come now. And she was, I think, 7 years old when the church started and has been here ever since. And so I ask her just to take a couple minutes and share with us what the church has meant through to her these past 22 years.
Bear with me. I hope I can do this without shedding tears, but I think they're already coming. As a young child and through up until now, this church has always been family. Doesn't matter if it's new members or people who've been here for the 22 years, all of them family, and treat me just like family and my family like family. I remember as a young child, I learned to sing in church. I learned to read music in church. Wendell taught me how to sing with recorded music in church. The first time I sang in front of people was in church. The first choir I sang in was in church. As I got a little bit older, my teenage years, my first roller coaster ride was in church, well, with the youth group at Cedar Point. I didn't like it, but so many firsts and so many things growing up and knowing that this was family, and those are the things that you do with family, and you grow with family, and you learn with family, and having my children and getting married and graduation and so many things, every major life event, and even the small ones, my church family was there, and not just there to hang on to my hand, but with their arms around me and supporting me, encouraging me, and even when I didn't realize it, praying for me. And today I have 3 children and a husband who are all saved, and my 9-year-old takes tracks to school to tell people how to get saved. My 7-year-old wants to play the piano in church. My 5-year-old sings with his heart out in church, and I even converted my Catholic husband to come to church and go the Baptist way. So I couldn't be more thankful and more honored to be a part of this church and what the church has done for me and lifted me up as a family and been my family.
All right. Thank you, Angie.
So Angie was probably one of the youngest ones of our charter members that are still coming. And then I'm going to ask probably one of the oldest ones that are still coming. I want to ask Brother Larry Maxwell to come. Larry's been here from the start as well, has been our treasurer from day one. And I ask him to come and share for a couple minutes what the church has meant to him down through the years.
It's been my privilege to watch Angie from this big to this big. I'm a little older than she is. This church, to me, has been the anchor on my life's ship. I think of a song that we sing, "Jesus Means All the World to Me." That about sums up how I feel about this church. As I look around, I see some old friends, and I see some brand new friends. They're all my friends. This is my family. You've been with me through the good times and the bad, and thankfully, and the good Lord watching out for me, there's been more good than bad. But there's lessons to be learned in everything. This is a teaching church, and having gone here for a while, I've learned the power of prayer and the meaning, "Ye have not because you ask not." I've learned patience from the meaning of wait upon the Lord through many, many answered prayers, both personally and for some of those I've prayed for. It's taught me, big and small, they've all taught me that all things are possible with God.
Amen.
I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the idea. This church is just a building, but I'm looking at the church, and you all mean the world to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angie. Thank you, Brother Larry. And again, I say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And I would just tell you this morning that I don't believe God is done with us yet. I believe that he wants to use us more as he used Paul and Barnabas on their subsequent missionary journeys. He wants us to do more for him. And I want Jesus to say to us what he said to Nathanael in John chapter 1 when he said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." I want him to say to us what he said to the disciples in John chapter 14, "Greater works than these shall ye do." I want him to do again what he has done so far. And I would remind you this morning that he is a God that can do again what he's done before. I've told you before the story about the black preacher that was driving his car, and he was driving erratically, weaving back and forth from lane to lane. And a policeman saw him and stopped him and came over and rolled down your window. He said, "I need to see your license." And so the pastor passed him his license. He says, "Oh, I see you're a pastor." He said, "Yes, sir, I pastor the First Baptist Church down the road." And he said, "Well, you know, pastor, you were driving kind of erratically." Then the pastor noticed a brown paper sack on the seat beside this preacher with the neck of a bottle sticking up. And the policeman said to the pastor, he said, "Pastor, what's in that bottle over there on the seat next to you?" And the pastor said, "Oh, that's just a bottle of water." And the policeman said, "Well, would you pass it over here so I could see it?" And the pastor took the water and passed it to the policeman. And the policeman took a sniff of the bottle and said, "Pastor, that's not water in that bottle. That's wine in that bottle." And the preacher says, "Praise God, he done it again." Now, I tell you that to get your attention. We've got a God that can do it again. The things that he's done for us the past 22 years, he can do again. Because you see, we have a God that doesn't change. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." And Wednesday night, we were talking about learning, how we learn our lessons. And I made this statement. I defined insanity. One of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's one definition. But I was thinking about it more this week. Another definition of insanity, another way to say it, is wanting the same result and doing something different. Wanting the same thing, but doing something different than you've done before to get it. If we want the Lord to do again what he's already done, we have to do again what we've done up till this point. If we want God to do more of what he's done before, then we have to do more of what we've done up to this point. So what have we done up to this point? What have we done that has allowed God to use us? What have we done that has allowed God to work through us and to open that door of faith to those in our community? I'm going to mention five things this morning. Number one, we've prayed. Brother Larry mentioned it in his testimony. We've been a people of prayer. We have claim verses like Jeremiah 33:3, where the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We've claim verses like that. We've prayed prayers, little prayers, big prayers, and we've seen God answer them over and over and over and over again, and seen the great and mighty things that only he could do. We prayed for a place to meet, and we're able to obtain this building. And by the way, pay it off quicker than anybody expected us to do. We prayed for family and friends to be saved, and seeing them one at a time come to Christ and accept Jesus as their Savior. We've prayed for healing when the doctor said, "Oh, they're beyond hope. There's nothing else that we can do." And we've seen God work miracles in people's lives and heal them. And there are people still here today that if you went back a few years, the doctor says they won't last long. And yet they're still here today. We prayed for little babies to be born, and our nursery runneth over. We prayed for relationships to be healed, and we've seen God do the impossible in healing those relationships. Look, we can't change the things that we do and expect God to do the same things. If we want him to do the same things, we've got to continue to do the things that we have done. And one of those things is that we've been a people of prayer. And the only way that, as Brother Wendell was saying a moment ago, the only way that we are going to continue to see the blessings of God on our church, the only way we're going to see him use us more is to continue to call upon his name and ask him to use us and to bless our church and help us be the kind of church we need to be. So we need to continue to pray. A second thing that we've done is we've held this book up as the Word of God and been a people of this book. We have believed that this book was inspired word for word, jot and tittle, by the Holy Spirit. And that holy men of God wrote it down as they were dictated to by that Holy Spirit. We believe this book has been preserved, and we have today the Bible that God wants us to have. And we believe that this book is our owner's manual, and that everything that we need to live our life while we're here on this earth, everything we need to help us get ready for heaven and for eternity, is found in the pages of this book. We've claimed verses like Joshua 1:8, where the Bible says, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And the blessings that we have enjoyed as a church have come because we've been a people of this book. We believe verses like Psalm 119:11, where the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We believe verses like Psalm 119, 105, where the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'll just put the stake in the ground this morning. We're not moving off of this book. We're not going to join the Translation of the Month Club. We're not going to change the Bible. We're not going to change the words in the Bible. We're going to teach and we're going to preach and we're going to stick and stand on this book. We sing that little song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And when you come to Sunday school and when you come to church, you're not going to get book reports or news reports or current events reports from newspapers or other books. We are going to be in this book. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. I don't want you to do that, but I'm just telling you, this is how it's going to be. We're going to stay in this book. Because you see, we can't change what we've done and expect God to continue to do what He has done. If we want Him to continue to do what He has done, then we've got to continue to do what we have done. And one of the things that we have done is we have proclaimed that this book is the Word of God. And we'll keep doing it. Number three, we have preached and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the whole 22 years, we have preached and proclaimed that the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. We have told people that they were sinners. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've told people that there's a penalty for that sin. For the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. I reminded my boys in my Sunday school class again this morning that the wages of sin is being separated from God. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They ate what God told them not to eat, and they were kicked out of the garden. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They were separated from God. We've told people over the years that Jesus paid their penalty for sin. He paid the price that we owe. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And on the cross, when He bore all our sin and when He was separated from God, He paid the price that we owe. He paid the debt that we owe. He paid for our sins. And the Bible says that He offers that gift of salvation to every single person. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All we have to do is take it. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on Him. And we, through the years, from this pulpit, from every Sunday school class, from every time we've gone out and knocked on somebody's door, we have told them that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's not our good works, it's not baptism, it's not church membership, it's not communion. There is one way, there is one gate, there is one narrow path, and that path, gate, and way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've never received a gift of salvation, I want to tell you today, God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And He paid everything that you owe. Now, don't depend on your heritage. Don't depend on your good works. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, don't depend on the church, because this church cannot save you. The only thing that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come to Him, you can depend on Him. And only He will make you right with God and give you a home in heaven. And for the past 22 years, that has been our message. And for the next years, however long God gives us, that will continue to be our message. That it's only Jesus. Only Jesus saves. Number four, we have been united in purpose. You say, preacher, you mean you never have had squabbles? Oh no, we've had squabbles. Never have fussed? Oh no, we have fussed. There have been times we have not agreed on things. And we've actually had people that have left the church because of that. But for 22 years, we have been constant and unified in our twofold purpose as a church. See, I like to keep things simple. It's hard for me to remember things that are not simple. We have a twofold simple purpose as a church. Number one, to tell people about Jesus Christ. And number two, to help Christians become more like him. That's it. To tell, number one, to tell people about Jesus Christ and he's the only way to heaven. And number two, to help people become more like him. You say, well, preacher, don't you help families? Yeah, we help families because if you become more like Jesus Christ, you'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll have a better family. Don't you teach people about how they ought to conduct their finances? Sure. But we found that the more they become like Jesus Christ, the more they'll know how to manage and handle their finances like God wants us to handle our finances. And I don't have time. I could take you through every area of life. Say, don't you believe in helping people do that? Yeah. But the bottom line is, the more you become like Jesus Christ, the more he gets into you, the more of the Holy Spirit, more of you that the Holy Spirit has control of, the better husband, wife, father, mom, you just name all the roles that we play in life, the better you will be, the more you get like Jesus. We're not going to change. We can't expect God to do the same if we change what we're doing. If we want him to continue to do what he has done, we need to continue to do what we have done. And that's be unified in our purpose. And then number five, we have loved others. Doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter what gender, doesn't matter what their education, doesn't matter what their social standing is. We have tried to practice that verse that's in Romans where the Bible says, don't be a respecter of persons. Every single person that has walked in this door has been welcomed and loved. One of the things that still excites me as a pastor is when new people come and I go to visit them and they say, oh, your church is so friendly. We felt right at home. We felt loved. That's the way it ought to be, folks. It's the way it ought to be. We've preached against sin. You know, those that have been here, we haven't sugarcoated sin. We haven't dressed it up and tried to make it look better. We haven't put lip, you know, somebody said you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. And there are churches all over the country today that are trying to dress up sin so people won't feel so bad about it. Look, your preacher wants you to feel bad about sin. He wants you to know that there's a penalty for sin. He wants you as a Christian to get it out of your life. It has no place there. And we've preached against sin, but we have loved the sinner. Loved the sinner. Okay, see, that's what we all are. We're all sinners. I'm saved. I'm still a sinner. I'm glad I got a God that forgives me when I go to him and ask him. Again, I would tell you, God loves you. That's the only way we can love you is because God loves us and he loves you. And we love because our God is a God of love. And if you're here today, and again, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, now is the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you're saved, but you're fighting God about something. Fighting over something in your life, fighting over something that he wants you to do. I just ask you this morning as a Christian, why don't you just quit fighting with God? Why don't you just surrender to him? Why don't you just be obedient to what he wants you to do? Again, if we want God to keep doing what he has done, we need to keep doing what we have done. If we want him to do more of what he has done, then we need to do more of what we have done. So as we start our 23rd year, we're not changing our program, not changing our platform. We're going to keep doing the same old things, only more and more and more and more. And a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we're going to stand at this place and we're going to say the same thing that we did today. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being such a good God to us. Thank you for the way that you've used us, and what a privilege it is to be used of you. Thank you for the many, many people that have been saved in this place, for the many, many people that have followed Jesus' example and been baptized. Father, for what you've done in our lives as individuals and what you've done in our families. And Father, we know it all comes from you. None of us, it wasn't any of us, it is all you. All you. And we say, to God be the glory. And Father, but we don't want you to quit using us. We want to see greater things. And I know, Father, that in order to do that, we got to keep doing what we've been doing. And so I pray you'll help us. Father, I pray today, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would see their sin, and they would see the penalty for that sin, and they would see the price that was paid on Calvary for that sin. And they would come right now and do it right where they sat. They would ask Jesus to save them. I pray, Father, if they do that, that just in a second when we have this invitation, they would come and share that decision with the rest of us. Father, if there's somebody that needs to come so we can help them and ask Jesus to be their Savior, I pray you'd help them come during this time of invitation. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us get the things out of our life that shouldn't be there so we can draw closer and closer to you. Just again, as we have for the past 22 years, we ask you to bless this time of invitation and do what only you can do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.